remember I was 16, yeah. Young, got hibernating, it's a wet dream, yeah. Getting on a private, but it's the damn thing, yeah. Holy Father, Holy Father, Holy Father. I just pray that we can win, yeah. I can give the blueprint, this the team, yeah. Holy Father, please forgive me if I bleed different, yeah. Lonely night scheming just to feed the greed, yeah.
Making plays in Arizona, yeah, on this road to California. Yeah, my partner Chad had to switch my focus. I was used to putting 30 birds in that focus. It's just the beginning. I see the transition.
You're welcome to the Outrighteous Podcast. Before I get into the introductions, Don, do we have a business?
We sure do. You already know the vibes of Black Business with Baritone. This week's business is a young black queen, Crystal Kitchen. You already know it is the wife of Kenny Kitchen, who does mirror image detailing.
You always give awesome. The extra bio.
I know, like, gotta give the extra bio so y'all know background.
Come on now.
People are.
Come on now.
But Crystal Kitchen does holistic massages. With Crystal's healing touch, you know, gives the massages and all of that, you know, holistic.
I like that stuff. What is a holistic massage?
I don't fully know, but I know it comes with the incense, yeah. And all that stuff. But she does. It's a vibe.
It's a vibe.
For sure, vibe. But she does the holistic workshops with, yeah, actually, I don't know if you remember Johnny Amber. I believe she is also from the Heights.
Oh, a lot of names.
A lot of names from the
Heights.
Come
on now.
You know what I'm saying? You don't know how
that
goes.
All right,
goes.
Well, shout out to
Crystal. Essential oil massages.
But Crystal does the, you know, the massages. You know, they do the workshops, you know, with the vegan lunches, the massage therapy sessions, the guided meditation sessions, the crystal cleanses, the recharge sessions, you know,
light some sage, man.
So you know how that gets down. Y'all make sure y'all vibing with Crystal's healing touch.
Light some sage, man. I'm not about to introduce y'all, but I will introduce myself. I feel bad because today I'm gonna have to introduce a guest, and that's like,
you feel bad.
I feel bad. For 3 years I have. Well, okay, y'all gonna kill me for this, but I've tried to avoid introducing men on this platform for a long time.
Bro, what type of egotistic, hyper-masculine shit is that?
So listen, listen, man, this is the Outrighteous Podcast. I am Dev the Voice. I refuse to introduce my two grown-ass co-hosts, so I'm gonna let them introduce themselves.
Hey, yo, you already know who this is. Most versatile last name in the game, Bedside motherfucking Benson, boy.
I like
it. We here.
I haven't dropped some bombs for you in a while, man, so I'm gonna drop some bombs for you right there.
Do you have a name today before I introduce myself?
I'm listening today. You feel me? We got
up, Benson.
Yeah, bro, yeah, right.
You've been slipping on my nicknames. You feel me, Don?
That's fine. I'm just asking questions.
That sound like a damn leapfrog program.
Hey, look, man, that's fine. But that's why that's not my name. They're yours. That's why I'm asking the question. But y'all know the vibes is the deepest voice in the game. Don Jones, a.k.a. Baritone, checking in.
I got to talk my shit a little bit today. So the reason why I'm talking my shit a little bit is
talk to him, Dev. Tell him who we have in the building, Dev.
Hey, don't put the battery.
Tell him who we have.
Hey, don't put the.
Hey, yo, when you done, when I come in with some fire.
I'm charged. No,
listen,
wait, why
is I'm charged? We got the Fendi Pharaoh. The Ferragamo Phantom.
Yo.
The Gucci Gladiator.
Yo. Why is Johnny putting
the designer Deacon
double A's, bro? What's the joint you put in the TV remote? Those double?
Oh, them double A's.
Yo, he's putting the double A's. What's the Y joint?
No, give me the V2 battery.
Yo, sign. So this is why we about to talk our shit a little bit on this episode, man. For 2 years we've been getting this in. We going on year 3. It's been a hell of a stretch, but to have people, first off, we love the homies. But damn, we tired of having y'all up here. So we have an opportunity, man, to get y'all some real gems from people in real places. Places that, what I like to call them, Johnny called them, what you call them? The Fendi Pharaoh?
He's the Fendi Pharaoh.
There was something else too. It was
the Ferragamo Phantom.
The
Gucci Gladiator.
Hey, that shit right there. The Gucci Gladiator is crazy.
The designer Deacon.
Yo, so listen, man. We got somebody that is a real.
I mixed up all those names.
Yo, we got a real dot connector in the building today, man. So listen, this episode that you about to listen to, this is like my second time saying this, man. But we going to need you to run this back twice. But we do have, hold on, let me drop a couple bombs, man. We do have Big Hef in the motherfucking building. Yeah. But I'm going to be real with you. I don't like calling you Big Hef. I just like to call you Hef.
That's cool. Either way.
Fuck it. All right. First off, Hef, how are you feeling, man?
I'm good. This, it's a journey, so I'm happy to be here. This is my first podcast in a long time.
Come on, son.
And
Come on, Dev, son.
I know Dev got some spicy questions, so.
Come on,
know.
Man.
You know Dev came through with the research.
Come yeah, on, man.
Sure. This is Dev's episode. We just supporting cast. This is Dev's episode.
Yo, real rap. I guess let's start. Before we get into the interview, man, I feel like for you to be here and for you to be doing a podcast interview, you mentioned that you haven't done a lot of podcast interviews. Why is that? Why does Hef never do interviews? Are you
for the majority of my career, I wanted to be behind the scenes and not noticed. And just through a lot of recent events over the last 4 or 5 years, it feels like I had to, you know, talk my shit.
Hey, well, I tell you what, this is not the radio, so you can get your shit off on this platform, man.
FCC don't care about us.
Come on, man. Before we get into the interview, I just realized that for the past 3 weeks, I've been checking on my co-host's mental health. And I want to check on y'all mental health today. How are y'all doing? And I'm telling you, this is not an out for me to just tell you how I'm doing. But I'll tell you how I'm doing anyway.
That's crazy. He said, fuck up.
If you notice, I didn't even go to answer.
I'm glad that you boys are doing good. Personally, you know, I'm going through. No, actually, I'm doing motherfucking good too, man. We got a dope guest. But are y'all good? Y'all Gucci? Hef, let's start right here. I took the hand off of Don.
I took the breath to go say something. He said,
I'm about to say something. Right, and Hef, I was like, what's up? I was like, say something. He's like, yeah, Shama Lama. I'm like, yeah, for sure.
You got a lot going on right now.
Let's get into it.
Let's start with the book, okay? The book title, from my understanding, from our understanding, is Making It in the Midwest, right?
I got a correction. I got two books, but yes.
Wait, God!
First book is Making It in the Midwest.
Wow. Yo, son!
It's just a how-to guide, like, from what I've seen. You know, so artists can really take their careers to the next level.
Yeah. What's the second book?
The second book is it's kind of a blueprint to the life of 50 Cent.
Mm.
So how he made his money, where he made his money at, how he started off in music and then ventured off into all the other brand partnerships and the ownerships he's been doing.
Okay, I hope you're not about to just bring that up and think that we're not about to ask for a little bit more context.
No, for sure. It's cool. Like, you know, just seeing 50 at the beginning of his career and then seeing him now is like a whole different person. Like, he in a whole different realm of money. So I just wanted to really break it down. Me and my guy, Demola.
Shout out.
He's a writer out of D.C. We had started a magazine called Owners Illustrated together, which is like an entrepreneur magazine.
Yeah.
And, so we just documented 50 Cent. Like we're going to come out with a series of books, and the first one was 50 because that's the first, like, the magazine cover. 50 was on our first mag cover. He did, like, 4 mag covers for us.
Wow. We were talking a little bit before we started recording, and we were talking about, like, all of the different people that we not sure if the world really knows that you affiliated with. And you, like, have this, like, so many affiliations that I'm not sure that people would know if they didn't know you. So you talk about how you got this book on 50, which is news to us, mm-hmm. or me, maybe.
Yeah, I had to surprise you, Dev.
Come on, son. Only on the best podcast in the world. Come on,
shit.
Son.
Only exclusive shit.
Come on, man. So with this, there's a relationship of some sort or some sort of connection that you had to 50 prior to this book, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Wait, hold on. Let me talk to my co-host for a second. You heard that?
I got questions. I have some questions. But go ahead. Go ahead.
No. With 50, like, I met him. I used to be real heavy. Like, I started my career off in the DJ community. So my first DJ that I ever partially managed was DJ Who Kid, which is his cousin. That's who turned me on to his music. And then when I worked at Lansby Records, we put out the first 50 Cent project. And then, you know, I have a great relationship with a lot of people from Detroit. My best friend is from Detroit. He introduced me to a lot of the Detroit hip hop scene. And at the time, that hip hop scene ended up becoming D12, becoming Eminem. 50 got signed to Eminem. And, you know, of course, like, the relationship was there. So the first tour I ever did was the Rock the Mic tour. And that featured Jay-Z, Snoop, 50.
Wow.
And, you know, so that was the first time I ever seen the country.
So you know, it was crazy that a Clubhouse debate on this.
Yeah.
The chatty box. It's like people say 50 is an asshole, but some people say 50 is just a certified bona fide businessman.
A businessman.
Because
bullying a businessman for sure.
Because I don't know. Like he if you don't know his journey, you will think that he doing people dirty. You feel me?
he said something about Taraji once. And that got messy.
Yeah. You know, it happens.
Yeah. When you talk, I really want to build off that question too, Johnny. When you talk about like how you had the connections with D12. I don't want to approach this in this moment. I don't want to approach this as an interview. I really want to approach this as a conversation, right? And so you having those Detroit connections, mm-hmm. What are some of those moments that you felt like? I think that when we hear stories about Rockefeller, we hear the great stories, we hear the bad stories. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if you look at your story as similar to a lot of those moments that Jay-Z and Dame had. But when you talk about some of the moments that you shared with, like, D12, some of those moments of you building your relationship with Def Jam, building your relationship with the artists from Detroit that are as impactful as D12, as Shady Records, how did that relationship come apart? Like, I don't want to just, to be honest with you, no moment of this conversation should be something that we just casually. You
know, the crazy part about it is that my relationships then is my relationships now. So even, like, if I go back to D12, like last year, I started working on a cooking TV show with Bizarre D12. So my relationships are still good. Like I just talked to OB, like maybe 2 weeks ago.
That's
so
lit.
Yeah. So it's not. It wasn't no like the fall apart was my relationship proof from D12 passed away.
Rest in peace. Yeah.
So you know that was hurtful for everybody. So everybody kind of ventured off and went their own way, and because he was like the glue.
Yeah.
To put everything together. And, you know, but I still did a lot of work, you know, and then when Paul became president of Def Jam, it was, you know, that's the president of Shady Records. So
that's a fact. Yeah. Well, can you walk us a little bit through where you was at, what was going on when Proof passed away, and how do you feel like that directly affected you and your relationship with D12? Like, I know he was the glue. Were there what was the phone calls like? What was that moment like having to sit with that?
My homie Finch called me, and I was in Miami. I was down there for Miami Music Week, and I was it was early in the morning. We had just got in from partying, probably like 5 o'clock in the morning. I got a phone call at like 7:30 in the morning. He told me that he had got killed, and it kind of self destructed everything that I was working on because he was such a vital part of it. Because the touring, you got to realize at this time, like 50M, D12, they all like 4-time, 5-times diamond selling.
Oh, artists. They ran. They had
top
an era.
Of the world.
Yeah.
Top of the world.
So it was like literally when you talk about Rockefeller, you talk about and then you got like Shady Records. It was kind of like a dynasty. You know what I'm saying? So it definitely changed everything because I was like, man, what am I going to do? How am I going to pick this up? And, you know, luckily I bounced back. Had a decent career after that.
Hey, I like that energy. A decent career. So this was was this a time period before you? I'm trying not to. So from the homework that we've done, I'm trying very hard not to skip parts in your story. And so was the very first moment that you realized that what you were doing as a businessman in entertainment, was that with D12?
Yeah, like Proof used to have me like read over his contracts. I put together a solo deal for him. I put together a mixtape deal for him. We was working on branching out and getting artists, some of his artists that he had underneath his IF label signed. So it was definitely vital like to my career. And then like at the time, like you got to remember like this J Dilla era with Slum Village and Royce da 5'9" and all those guys. So like we would literally do like a D12 world tour, and like Slum Village was like their opening act, and you know what I'm saying. So Common and all those guys used to always follow through, and you would see everything. You know what I'm saying? You would see everything. So and then you know with M, like he was on top of the food chain.
Yeah.
So like at the end of I think one of the tours, the anger management tours we was on, it was like Lil Jon, it was 50, D12, M, Ludacris, Blink 182. And yeah. Was like, you know what I'm saying? If you think about Blink 182 was M's opening act.
Hey, why does Blink 182 always seem to collaborate with a hip hop artist? Because I think they did a tour with Wayne at one point.
Yeah, they love hip hop. They love hip hop for sure.
Yeah.
So how is, like, even just thinking about the tours from back in the day and how it was like when people went on tour, it was a major tour. You got like mad artists on there, but now it seems like, well, a little bit before COVID, now it's kind of like, you know, artists not really having that many people touring with them, or they doing like the festival vibes. Like, how do you?
The festivals definitely took over, but then again, like, I think like budgeting a whole tour of that magnitude, this is like 05, 06. So people wasn't getting as much money. Now, if I can put out a record now, by the end of the year, I can really go up and I could still be making $150,000. You know what I'm saying? So like what was it, 2 years ago, like when we was with Megan, like we really started off at $2,500.
You're being casual.
I'm so that's Megan, the way I talk.
Megan, let's put a last name. Who?
I don't know. I like full governments myself.
Megan who?
Megan
Yeah. So Megan and Stallion, like, we
started
out. I'm gonna rock out. I'm gonna rock out.
So like we started off at the year making like $2,500 a show. Then it went to $5. Then it went to $75. Then it went to $10. Then it went to $20. Then it went to $30, $40. Then it got up to $100. So you got to just realize that that's all within a 8-9 month span. So you just got to realize like the money in hip hop is crazy right now.
So go ahead, Don.
So I want to take us back a little bit because I enjoy doing a generic question, but I want to take us back a little bit. So Hef, who were you before the music? Were you always about music? Did you always love music?
Always
about music.
Always
about
sports and music. That's all.
So what was the initial inspiration for you? I was like, okay, this is what I want to do.
What was the initial? I was born in Chicago, so I was in the kitchen in Chicago, and I just loved music. I was like, okay, this is what I'm gonna do. And I was walking down the hall one day when I was in like elementary school, and I said, I had my headphones, same thing. It's gonna be my career.
Yeah.
Was you good at music class? Like, was your recorder game crazy?
Was your recorder game crazy? It's a nasty question.
It started off like karaoke machines, making, like, trying to take instrumentals, chop them up, do different stuff with them, had my homies rapping on them and all that kind of stuff.
So if you had to pick three major moments between when you were, we'll say, a youngster to now that kind of impacted your life in that time, what would be those three major moments?
High school talent shows, probably meeting my first, my dad knew a producer that was in New York, and I drove to New York and met him, and he told me it was whack, and I was like, I'll be back.
yeah.
Don't worry, I'll be back.
From Chicago to New York?
Nah, from Cleveland to New York, okay. So just like a little 9-hour drive.
What was it that he felt was whack?
The whole group that I was affiliated with.
Oh, you're not going to, I know who they are.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I'm not.
Oh, okay.
We're not tripping. Like, we literally came back, went back into the studio, did. You know what I'm saying? Like, if anybody tell you whack, you're going to get back. I'll be back, bro. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It's been a block.
Yeah.
Come back.
Yeah. So it's been a block. And then what was that last, what would you say the last one is that kind of, that kind of drove you to where you are?
The bone blowing up, like, from Cleveland, just seeing that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, okay, I want that. I mean, so I used to literally call like Bone's office. They had just started the Mo Thug label. I'm mad young. I used to call their office like 10 times a day. Nobody would ever call me back. And then one day, probably like 2 months later, 3 months later, Flesh and Bone called me back like, hey, bro, I got all your messages. And I was like, okay. And was like, yo, let's meet, blah, blah, blah. He's like, yo, I got to fly out of town. And then maybe 2 months after that, we ran into each other. And then, like, it was on and popping from there.
What age was this?
This is, like, when I was probably 17, 18.
Oh, so you was young.
He was on the end.
I'm calling.
Yeah.
So that's what I always answer my DMs because I know who that person is. You feel
right.
Me? So, and, like, When I met Drum Guy is Ryan Wolf's nephew, but he was like, 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And he used to just hit me up like, yo, bro, yeah. And so I used to invite him to stuff. And then I used to start getting his beats placed with some of the artists I work with. Then that led to making an introduction. And then next thing you know, I know he in Atlanta and he got signed to Money Bag Yo.
I want to talk about something for a moment that's a little bit more, that's very specific to where we're from. And I do want to still get into the books too. Mm-hmm. So at some point, I believe it was like about 2006, where you were one of the founders of the Ohio Hip Hop Awards, right?
Yeah.
So can you give us...
There's going to be a lot of miracle stories in this interview for sure.
But that's what we're here for.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you just drop a bomb for that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I can just tell you, like, I was in Miami.
Okay.
It was the last Source Awards. I was there. I was by myself solo, but the Source, they had flew me down. And I was like, okay, I like this vibe. And then I actually went to the award show, and there was a pimp that used to be from Cleveland, and he was there.
Shout outs.
I was like, okay, Cleveland guys, okay, boom, boom, boom. And there was a group that was actually called 216. They were signing Universal. They was there. So I was like, man, I got to do something like this, because they was just happy to be mm-hmm. there. I said, I got to bring like something like this home to the city. Like, then I was like, I got to bring something like this to the state and bring awareness for our hip hop community, because they don't know. So every year, like I came home, I got with my guy Majestic. Then I got with D. Loran.
And who are these people? Like,
they was like my business partners. One Majestic had like it would be a blog, but he had a newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And it would go out every weekend. Everybody in the city would really read this guy's newsletter.
Yeah.
And people would be mad if they didn't make his newsletter. So,
right.
And then Loran was, he did college radio, and then he had a radio show on Z107.9.
Mm.
So, and then he did brand partnerships, like with all the vodkas and tequilas and all that kind of stuff. And then Garbage was another college radio host. So, we all sat down in a room, had a meeting. I went to each one individually like, yo, man, I really want to put this together, do this award show, just recognize our talent. And then we set it up, started having meetings, and then we produced our first award show. So it was at a club that back then was called a Metropolis.
Mm-hmm.
So we never really expected, like, the turnout. We was like, we were just going to invite people. We rented out the club and opened the doors and bought the awards.
Yeah.
And it was 2,000 people there.
Damn.
And I was like, oh, wow. Like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody came out and really, you know what I'm saying? And at this time, it was like the cap era. So, like, Chip, Fat Al.
Yeah.
Like, Hush Royalty Money was Camp. Big, Royalty Camp. Like, they all came.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was like the craziest thing. I was like, so afterwards, we were just like, we did it. Oh, my goodness, we did this.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was the start of the Ohio Hip Hop Awards. So it went on for, like, I was a part of it for 8 years, and it did like 12 years.
So you was a part of it for 8 years. What led up to you in 2013 was around the time that you left the Ohio Hip Hop Awards. You signed with Def Jam. Yeah. But what led to the split? And then I also want to just add this
one. Egos. Egos, for sure. My head was big. I ain't going to lie.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm doing award shows, I'm on tour, I'm doing this, I'm running around crazy, I'm with athletes and famous chicks and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah,
I think I was with a tennis player. I was dating a tennis player.
Shouts out to Serena Williams. Shouts out to Serena.
We're not gonna pass this. The tennis bag, like the Wimbledon tennis bag.
Oh, the tennis bag is a different bag, bro. Tennis players built different. I mean that physically.
not tax bracket.
So I
had moved into this crib, and I don't know if y'all, it was a running back that used to play for the Browns. His name was Ruben Jones, but he got traded to the Giants. So me and his agent moved into his house.
Okay.
So we moved into his house, and that was like a whole different lifestyle. It was like crazy. I couldn't get no work done.
But
like every day it would be like, different athletes would just crash at the crib or just stop over randomly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, this different.
Yeah.
Just the women different, everything different. Like, I used to have, like, I don't know if you ever seen the TV show The Game.
Of course.
That was Malik's life was my life for sure.
That's lit.
Like it was like photo shoot Fridays, thick with it Thursdays, Wild Out Wednesdays.
Whoa,
like,
you said thick with it Thursdays.
For sure. Like, yeah. We used to have like and the agent is a white guy, it's my dude Hank.
Yeah.
But we used to literally have a party every night and get up and do our work during the daytime and then have a party every night. And it used to be crazy. Barbecue, photo shoots, girls walking around in lingerie, like the whole nine. And the spot was four levels. So it was just like you could go to the second level, it's jacuzzis, da da da. Go to the third level, it's pool tables and da da da. And then you got a balcony at the top. Girls just hang out.
So what city was this?
It's Cleveland. It's Cleveland for sure.
It's
downtown. We living. Everything living.
I love it.
Hey, look.
It was
thick,
like,
on Thursdays. I love it.
It was definitely crazy, but yeah. So yeah, my ego was crazy. So, and then like it was a lot of meetings and stuff. Like I got to take ownership of it. It was a lot of meetings I never showed up to. And they was probably just sick of me. And I was like, yo.
So in a lot of ways, you were the Johnny.
Wow.
But I wasn't.
She gets done on this podcast.
It was just a crazy time because you're feeling it. You know what I'm saying? Like the Cleveland music scene popped off. And everything was just moving. It was moving fast too. So it was like people was getting deals that I was around. People was, you know, I'm around athletes and they driving Raris and Mazis and all that
we
kind
don't
of
need
stuff.
To go through
this. Yeah,
cars. We done got wind on the car scene that you got, you know, up here in Northeast.
He's a Fendi Phantom.
So is the fam at this point in Cleveland with you, or are they in Chicago?
Both. Like my family, they at the time when everything was going crazy, but they had just moved back to Cleveland.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that calmed me down a lot.
Yeah.
Sure.
So things are picking up. It's going crazy. Who else was a part of that? It was three of y'all in that Starting Ohio Hip Hop Awards?
Four of us. It was actually five of us. Suave Gotti, D. Loran, Majestic, Garbs, and me.
So before we get into you transitioning into your role at Def Jam, when you look at what the Ohio, from what I've known, it's no longer the Hip Hop Awards, but what the Ohio Awards. Entertainment Awards has transitioned into as one of the people that like help usher that into here.
So when the tail end of the Ohio Hip Hop Awards, that's when Andrew started the Ohio Entertainment Awards.
Okay.
So he was doing his thing and it was kind of like OG versus young guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but I always, like, I'm a guy that always embraces, like, the young wave. So I was never like, man, you know, get out of here, little guy. Type thing. I was like, man, just go do your thing. And, you know, like, I think it was a couple years ago, he offered me to be a part of the Ohio Entertainment Awards. I couldn't do it at the time. I was like, bro, I wouldn't even. I'm like, I'm going to tell you, like, I had problems because it's my schedule. Like, I can't do it. I don't even be in Cleveland that much.
Right.
So. You know, so, but yeah, I still support him. And, you know, last year they gave me a Living Legend Award, Ohio Icon Award. And, you know, I support them. Like him and Jerry are my people, though.
Yeah. So in 2013, you signed a Def Jam. Before we get into the facts about that and the story behind that, a lot of people that come from out of this place of Cleveland, with this being a smaller market musically. Or maybe from our perspective on the outside, it's a small market musically, but and in the entertainment world. But how does that happen for somebody to be coming from this place and to land an opportunity at an empire like Def Jam?
It was just the work. The work was crazy. Like the stuff with MGK went crazy. You feel me? Like
stuff is in what?
You know, like MGK, his first tour was a tour with the Ohio Hip Hop Awards.
Okay.
And me and him already had a relationship. He used to work at a airbrush spot. And, you know, we just always, like, anytime you needed help, it was there. And then I had did something called a new music seminar. And I invited, like, it was like 10, 13 A&Rs that came in from every label. G-Unit, Shady, Def Jam, Republic, Interscope, whatever it was. It was like the big dogs.
Yeah.
And MGK was one of the guys that stood out, but his personality always stood out. So, like, even if I go back to, like, maybe, like, some 07, 08 stuff, like, when Wiz was first getting on the scene, like, I had MGK open up for Wiz. Like, mm-hmm. any concerts that I had, I would have him open up for him. You know what I'm saying? So, it was, like, just a great, cool relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
And when he signed with Puff, like, I'm probably telling too much, but my dude James, he called me. Yeah. A lot of people didn't have relationship with Kells. So James called me. I called Ashley and I said, yo, James want to talk to you about doing this deal at Bad Boy.
Yeah.
So worst came, you know, that was one situation. And then the other situation was like my guy D from E1, which from Koch Records, he wanted to sign Kells. So I set up a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just like, you know, a liaison, just trying to help him get a situation. You know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, he can go next level for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, 11 years later, for sure it happened.
I want to ask you about this, and I'm sure this is something that, like, we all are thinking about right now. A lot of people have been a part of labels like Bad Boy, and it's always been, like, a lot of drama around these label contracts, mm-hmm. especially ones that stem from, like, the early 2000s or the 90s.
Mm-hmm. 360 deals.
Yeah, right? As somebody who owns a label, who we'll get into that, as somebody who owns a label and has been a liaison for a lot of these artists, what would you say is the right way for artists to navigate that label that contract conversation, and do their homework on that?
Entertainment lawyer. A lot of people be too cheap to get one.
Yeah.
For somebody to really tell them, like, what this contract really means and what you're going to have to do to get out of it. But now I feel like it's crazy because you can really get in and out of a deal within 2 or 3 years.
Talk more on that.
It's just, like, the process of putting out music is faster.
Mm-hmm.
So every 6 months you can release a project. If you're in a 4-album deal, you can really do one in March, do one in September, do one in March, do one in September, and your deal done. You can either renegotiate or you can move on to another situation.
Timestamp that, dude.
Do you even think the label is still even relevant right now?
Yeah. At the end of the day, I don't know how much money you got in your bank account, but if somebody gives you $250,000, mm-hmm. you're gonna definitely need that to take care of your family. Mm-hmm. And then you got to realize that there's a production budget. So that $250 is your bread. Then you got $250 to go get the right producers or the right artists that you want songs with. Then you got another $250 to market and promote your music. So what do artists always complain about? I don't got the bread, or I can't get on these platforms, or I can't get these looks. That take care of all of that.
Right.
What was the, so I think as an artist, we know you get bad contracts, but you being an exec, what's the worst contract? Who offered you the worst contract, and what part of that contract made it bad? I wanted to add a little spice.
As an exec?
Yeah, as an exec.
Like, to me?
Yeah.
I can't name the label.
Ah, come on.
But, you know, it's people that offered me, like, $2,000 retainers or something like that, and I know I'm worth more than that.
What is, yeah.
Before, what is, I used to not.
What does retainers mean?
Retainers mean that's what they're going to pay you every month to be with the label. Represent that. You know what I'm saying?
Two bands.
Yeah, it's not
$24,000.
Yeah, it's not.
Like, I'm a hustler, so I can make that. You know,
as a fact, come on,
Tyra make more than that for sure.
Yo, son, we make more than that.
You feel me?
Hey, Tyra, tell him you're in a different tax bracket. tell him you're in a different tax bracket.
But is it more like, because I guess artists now, From the dialogue people say, is like, I understand the concept of money and just exposure and the help that you get, but also too, artists feel like, you know,
but you gotta, before you even say it, I already know where you're going.
Come on.
You gotta realize that they're in a different space because of the marketing budgets and people setting that bread aside for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start, once they get successful, they think that they did it on their own.
Ah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, you still do need that bread. And then at the end of the day, like, after, when you and your album deals, like, you get more bread.
Right.
So every album you get, you still get that budget.
Right.
So those checks come in handy.
But how about, you got people that later on down in life is like, I got played by the label. Or then you got people like Russ that is very, have a very anti-label rhetoric, and it's like you could do all this shit yourself. You don't need the label to get you on a playlist in Spotify. You don't need a label to upload your records.
That's like the bitter artist getting on, and then he's yeah. But I like Russ too, so it's not like no. But there's some artists like they've been overlooked for so long, and then when they finally get on, like Russ had his biggest year last year.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. You don't really hear him complaining about the label too much now, though.
And he was on the label for a minute too.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Speaking of artists, specific artists, you have had the pleasure of having an artist on your label and breaking an artist, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the first female artist to have a major label deal from Cleveland, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Hold on. So, specifically, if you don't know, if you listening from out of the state and you may not know, if you listening, shouts out to whoever that is in Germany that support us. if you listening from out of the state or you listening from Germany or wherever, that artist is Ty Bree.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about that. What is it? What before we get into the relationship that you have with Ty Bree, what is the sauce behind breaking a artist in a small market like Cleveland and getting her signed to RCA, who is a major label in the entertainment industry?
I have a lot of great friends, a lot of great relationships that I built throughout the industry. And then I had success with a lot of female artists. So when I seen Ty, like I met Ty through Ray Jr. and when their situation dissolved, we started talking about Ty being at Capital Structure. Everybody knew I wanted to start. I was busting a move. I was starting a new label, yeah. And I was actually looking for an artist. And, you know, so we got all the paperwork and all that kind of stuff done. But I had been, you know, I've been around her. Like, so when she was with Ray, I had her come out. We did a promo run with her through Ohio and, you know, just in making the introductions to show that she's working and all that kind of stuff. Her music started to carry out of Cleveland into Columbus and Akron and Cincinnati and Indianapolis and stuff like that. So me doing a lot of the work that it took to help them song spread, you know, I just like, yo, you might as well come over here with us. And, you know, of course she was kind of reluctant a little bit at first because, of course, one bad situation or whatever. But, you know, great relationship with Ray. Me and Ray been friends for business partners and friends for probably 10+ years.
Yeah.
And it was kind of natural energy, and you know, the situation that I had, it was good for her because one, you got somebody that knows how to break a female artist, a major label situation, and it worked.
Is it dip? I'm sorry. Let me get this off real quick, Johnny. Is there a difference between breaking a female artist and breaking a male artist? Like, what do you mean?
Definitely.
Can you walk us through that a little bit?
It's just you talking to people that have a whole different perspective of life than you. Mm-hmm. You feel me? And then you got to realize, like, we in an era where girls is getting it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, it's just a different mind frame. They have to go through different situations than a male artist do. So, and they got different outlets and platforms. So you got Shade Room and all that other kind of stuff that's good for women. And, you know, if a guy makes Shade Room, it's something bad.
All the time.
Do you feel like women artists now have to kind of go in this sort of direction or rap a certain way to someone be successful? Like, I feel like with male artists, you can get that mainstream success, but if you can still survive in that core audience type success. But with female artists, it feels like a very few females can get that core audience success, what I'll call it. Do you feel like a lot of female artists are like kind of like they have to get that mainstream style of rap where it's just like talking about, you know how the people what's on the radio right now?
Yeah. I don't think they have to. I think that there's just a formula that they see that works, and a lot of them try to emulate that success. So, you know, like Ty's a little bit different because she's a rapper. Like literally, like she talk her stuff, but she can actually rap. Some of these people can't rap.
You can say shit on this.
I know, but I'm so
gotta trained. Keep it on.
I'm
brand.
So trained. I'm so trained to not. Yeah.
So I guess let's really get here, man. When you talk about Capital Structure, when you talk about the start of that. Who all outside of Tybree is a part of the Capital Structure label?
Ryan Wolf. Ryan Wolf was the first person I signed. And it was just like I started off in the DJ world, so I wanted to sign a DJ. And then that would eliminate me from having to sign every single person.
Yeah.
And I can do songs through Ryan Wolf.
Hey, that's low-key a gem, bro. Yeah.
So that was kind of like the thought process. Like he could be my DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
And Ty, Rob is a business partner. He's a producer as well. My dude Duke, he's a former artist and CEO. And then, you know, he bossed up. I got Tyra, my publicist.
Come on, son.
I got Mo, my project manager.
Come on, son. Yo, don't even get him started on the radio squad. Yo.
There's a guy on there.
I feel like when people talk about, I know you mentioned that you got your flowers from the Ohio Entertainment Awards. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you also get that same amount of hate from Ohio? For the same energy that people give you in love, do you feel like the same people hate on you?
Too busy to even notice if it was.
God. Me too. I totally don't.
You know what's the vibe I get from him?
What's good?
Is that like he going to do him. He going to stay in his lane. He going to be him. You don't worry about the other extra noise.
Bro, it's been ups and downs and roller coaster ride through the industry, but right now, like the last 5 or 6 years, I've been good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and the artists that I work with and the places that I am, like, this is A-list.
Yeah.
Feel me? So it's not what they gonna say. You not winning?
Yeah.
And be like, oh, well, look at Megan. Look at Cardi. Look at T Grizzly. Look at YKS. Like, I'm winning. I'm good.
Yes.
Can I ask a spicy question, Dave?
I like the spice. What's up?
I don't say spice. I'm just getting direct questions.
What's up?
Why do you think Cleveland has not developed their own sound? When I say it as in, like, if I listen to a Detroit record without even hearing a rapper, I know it's a Detroit record. I know a Houston record.
Yeah.
I know an L.A. record. You know an L.A. record. You know an Atlanta record, a Florida record.
We're a melting pot. And then one of the things that I want to say hurt, but probably in like 2012, 2013, 2014, all of our producers went to the West Coast or went to Atlanta.
Mm.
So that go our sound. Now all the younger guys, they got to figure it out again. So, but now over the last 2 or 3 years, you see like Philly, you see 16-year-old, you see Trap Boy Benny, you see, you know what I'm saying? Like the our main producers now are they're good.
So is that mentality that, me and Dev have been in these, I'll say forums.
Hef was in there too.
Oh, big facts.
Yeah.
What forum? Clubhouse?
Yeah, yeah, we was on Clubhouse. And let's just drop it. Be direct.
We hear the same messages that, I ain't ruining my career yet. You feel me?
I will.
But nah, I feel you keep hearing a message that people like, yo, you have to leave. And it's always like you have to leave. If you want to come back, you can, but you have to leave to be successful. But what you said right there was when people leave, it hurts the city, and then we don't develop our own culture. Because mm-hmm. Are we really a melting pot, or we just have to take the sounds from other places?
We definitely a melting pot, because you got to realize that Cleveland, some people like East Coast music, some people like West Coast music, and then know we like down south music, whether it be Texas or Atlanta stuff. So yeah, we definitely a melting pot for sure.
Why do you have to leave Cleveland to be successful? Why do you think that?
I mean,
do you agree with that? That's the truth.
I don't think you have to leave, but to reach the level, it just depends on your goals and what you define as success. I remember me and Ray Jr. We was on the road, and we was really probably like on our 20th city or something. He's like, what do you define as success? And I was like, I'm cool. You cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the bills is paid. Family living good.
You want to know what I low-key want to know? From the perspective of an exec, when two artists are beefing, does that carry over into the label?
It just depends on which label, because sometimes labels like that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Like, you can keep any drama away from me for sure.
So with that being said, Hef, can we get a little spicy?
You always act that before you about to ask something crazy.
No, because think about it. No, we gotta. It's
like, gotta have your consent first.
It's like at Popeyes, you want all the spicy.
Can we get a little spicy?
Can I get spicy?
Zesty?
So I'm gonna get a little spicy, man. All right. So,
talk your shit, dude.
Last year, when you talk about, so you have this major background as a marketer, you have this background as an A&R, you have this background as somebody who is a dot connector in the entertainment industry, mm-hmm. And you also have helped a lot of people brand themselves. Mm-hmm. And with branding yourself, it comes a lot of drama, especially when you're dealing with artists, personalities, talents, and you deal with all of those, right? Yeah. I think it was last year where there was this huge issue that occurred between somebody that was connected with Ty Bree, and I think it was like her hairstylist got into it with somebody, and it created this viral moment, this viral incident. Mm-hmm. What were the reactions that happened internally, and how did you all deal with that? Was that too spicy?
Nah, because all I got to say is no comment.
I love it.
Nah, but you know, like, homie is, that's one of her good friends, and she got his back. So, you know what I'm saying? But we had to micromanage it until it becomes something or it died down.
Yeah.
So, like, he definitely still was at the Wake Up video shoot.
Yeah.
Couldn't post nothing. All that good stuff.
Yeah. So moving forward, let's talk about the future a little bit. And we're not going to keep you all day, but I do want to talk about the future. You have two books out right now. Uh-huh. One is Make It In Cleveland, and the other one is Making It In The Midwest. But what's the second one?
It's just called Onus Illustrated. It's called Hustlenomics, actually.
Okay, so
a 50 Cent, The American Story.
So Making It In The Midwest, let's start right here. If you could summarize that, of course, it's about what it sounds like, the story, your story in the Midwest. But what would you say are some of the most important gems that artists or management should pick out of that book?
It's really just starting your career off doing the correct paperwork, one. And then the foundation of building a team, what kind of team members you're really looking for.
Yeah.
How to kind of initiate and seeing what your target audience is, all that good stuff.
And then you
buy the book, Dev.
Yeah, I text you about it. I did text you about it, so I'll make sure I cop a
copy. Chill out, because, you know, Tyra was talking mess before you pulled up, talking about, he ain't got no books.
I will cop a copy, man. And also, I wanted to ask this before we get off of this topic of the different music labels. When you look at what you've done, which is super legendary, so congrats. We want to make sure we give your flowers with Ty Bree. Do you ever feel the need to, like, compete with other local acts, like, especially when they're coming out in this, like, this new, well, not the new wave, but how much people are appreciating this wave of women who rap? When you look at artists like Piggy, who are starting to get that national buzz, when you look at a couple of the newer acts that are coming up and aligning themselves with important brands, does that ever create pressure for you to, like, oh, we need to step up what we're doing another level, or we need to align ourselves with these people?
I think I'm on competition.
Yeah.
And, like, the willingness and the drive that I have for me and my team is, I don't think it's going to be matched, though.
Yo.
Let's not say get away from music. Let's get away from the artists real quick.
Let's do it.
What advice do you have for people that want to be in those background executive levels? Do you know? Because I know a lot of Generation Z and millennials, we have this thing that we need to get compensated for everything we do. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't want to do the free intern work no more and stuff like that. So what advice do you have for people that want to get, basically, be you? They want to be Big Hef.
They gotta be
a medium Hef.
I would definitely get a mentor. I would definitely do an internship to prove myself, to show what kind of work that I can do and what my value is. And then do your research. Your research gonna mean a lot at the end of the day. So if you're knowledgeable about certain things, especially if, like, somebody like me be like, man, I don't know, and then somebody, one of my interns know it, I'd be like, you're right next to me all the time.
So should these individuals, because some
Tyra,
people...
Tyra was an intern at first, for sure.
Hey, shout out.
Should show these individuals, in a sense, because people might think that, you know, I should go shoot for the sun, go for the Def Jams, the Interscopes, the, Nah, you know, like, but should they start like, the small labels?
You gotta start like what I see a lot is that when people are good in like incubator label or something like that, they usually naturally grow to being at a Def Jam or being at an Atlantic or being at a Interscope or something like that. So everybody that I know that was maybe 4 or 5 years ago that was down here, they're working with the big boys now. Because if you're a star down there, then at the end of the day, every label is going to say, like, who did your digital marketing? Who did your da-da-da? And that's what it is. And then, like, most of these, like, smaller labels, like, once they blow up an artist, then every major want to know who did that.
Yeah. Before we leave, I do want to ask a few more things. Johnny, you had brought up the Clubhouse room that we was in, and there was a lot of people, like,
Clubhouse room we talking about?
Cleveland Is the Reason.
The one that I'm from Cleveland did?
Yeah. Was it I'm from Cleveland that hosted it?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, because it was K-Nice.
It was like K-Nice and then it was K-Nice and
Company.
EV.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Okay, fine. I'm from Cleveland.
K-Nice and Company.
Yeah, K-Nice and Company is hilarious. when it comes to, like, from you, I'm not sure if you were a part of those camps or not, but when you look at, like, what EV specifically.
EV?
Yeah.
DJ job that he ever had, I put him onto it at Peabody's.
Hey, Peabody's got mad history.
R.I.P. to Peabody's. I remember when I first was a freshman in college, and that's when Peabody's was still standing. Welcome to CSU, and now they tore it down for the health science building, and they don't barely use that damn building. R.I.P. It's all good.
I give them their flowers.
But it's when I go through the history of music, like I'm the one to introduce MGK to EV. I introduced Chip the Ripper to King EV, so they and later on that got to become the I'm from Cleveland or Bitch I'm from Cleveland mixtape series.
Yeah,
that was legendary.
How did that relationship with you and Chip and EV, how did that come about?
Like, I was just in LA with Duke, so Duke, like, at the time, EV was my guy. Like, every year I always take somebody else under my wing. This year it was EV. So we were doing mixtapes. I was doing the shows at Peabody's, and EV would be my DJ. And he was just starting off DJing. He wasn't that good. If you ask him, he was okay. But his marketing and his hustle was crazy. It was always crazy for me even then. So as that started to grow, like, you know, and young rappers, that was Chip, Al, but Chip had a lot of hustle. Him and Duke was like, would literally be everywhere. So if that was a popping club night, they would be outside like, what's up? Get me in. Can you get me in? So, you know, on the way out one day, I told EV, I was like, this is my homie Chip. Bro, you need to work with him. He's going to be a beast. And he ended up taking him under his wing, couple hit records after that, couple mixtapes. And then, like, when we was doing, EV had introduced me to Kid Cudi. And that's when Cudi was first starting. He had Day and Night out in New York. It was popping in New York, buzzing. But he didn't have no kind of hometown buzz. You feel me? So we did a Bitch I'm from Cleveland. I think it's Bitch I'm from Cleveland 2. EV was like, yo, we got to break this guy. And I was like, you know, I'm going to put him first on the CD.
Yeah. What was it about Cudi that made him the one?
It was just different vibes. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, a lot of my people in New York was talking about him. Like, there's some kids from Cleveland named Charles Hamilton and Kid Cudi. You know him? And I was like, nah, not really.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but, like, when you get on your fifth or sixth ask, you're like, I got to know who this guy is.
Yeah.
And then, so we, EV put together, I think it was at a spot called Nooks. It was a clothing store or whatever it looked.
Yep.
And we had Cudi, Chip, Ray. It was like the whole Cleveland music scene for sure.
Yeah. Yo, quick story real quick. I got my first album, like, signed from Ray Cash at Nooks.
How do you feel?
Yeah. It was a legendary moment. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I got a question for you. You had a lot of success. You are a legend. You've been right many times, but have you ever been wrong about an artist? Like, have you ever been like someone brought you somebody and you was like,
outside of me,
you don't blow up. You're like, I'm cool. Then you look up 5 years later and he stack him under to his ear and he lit.
The money phone?
I'm trying to think.
The money iPhone.
I missed on. I can't think of nobody I missed on.
See, that's crazy. He never misses.
No, real rap. So are you saying that you feel like you never missed for real?
I missed on some campaigns, but I never really missed. There's no artist that, there was probably artists I probably could have attached myself more to or did a lot more for, but, you know, I'm good.
So if y'all ain't peep, he said, I'm shooting 100% from 100%. My line.
Nah, I'm shooting 100%
from my line. You ain't got it.
Because I'm trying to think of who I missed on, because I had success with Ray Cash, success with MGK, success with Ray Jr.
Wait, hold on.
Success with Lil Cray.
Come on,
Lil Cray's first deal. Did help with Q Money. Help with who else?
It's sounding about 100%.
Help with Kelvin. Help with Kelvin. Help with 55 Bags.
Sounds about Doughboy.
Actually, help with him. I always help with Doughboy. That's my guy. And people wouldn't even know it because we don't hang around each other.
Yeah,
but that's just crazy how like
Tyree.
Your hand has touched. Like, every Cleveland artist I grew up listening to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Playing my little CDs. Yeah. Scratches all on them.
Come on.
Showing your age, bro. CDs.
Nigga, I'm still young.
We did I think one of the biggest turning points in Cleveland music was when we did the Cosign.
So, hold on. So, I want you to talk a little bit more, because I heard Party with Splash mention the Cosign. And I haven't had the opportunity to really educate myself on what this is. So what is the Cosign?
So the Cosign was like on some 2014, 2015 stuff, but it really kind of changed the narrative of Cleveland music, because I just randomly get a text from Steph one day, and Steph just saying like, yo, bro, I need you to meet me at such and such. And I was like, all right, cool. We want to talk music. And I was like, all right, cool. So I go down to Bar Louie when it was on West 6th. We sit down, we have a meet. Yeah, for sure. That was like our meeting spot.
R.I.P.
That's everybody meeting spot.
R.I.P.
So at the meeting, it's like Mill, Steph, KY, young KY at the time. It's KY like only like 19. Who else? Ryan Wolf.
All coming DJ KY.
Tropicana.
Dropping a legendary name.
So it was like, so we had a meeting and it was just about Cleveland music and who we think popping. So we decided to put together a project, and then we would give people an opportunity to get showcased, and then we would service it out to the rest of the country, and we would make a list of who was popping in Cleveland. So all the labels had to pay attention to it. And at the time, the Cavs is popping. So Steph would be playing them on the radio and in the arena. Ryan would be playing in the Browns arena. All the clubs, all of our DJs was in the clubs, and I was doing, like, you know, and then Trap would be the voice, and she was just talking her talk like a pit bull, and she would let people know that this popping in the city. And at the time, like, Stolly was there, Ray Jr.
Shout out,
yeah. Who else was hard? Like, that's when Rip first started making his buzz and the whole nine. And it changed, like, the narrative of Cleveland music and the support of Cleveland music. And, like, before, you couldn't hear none of our songs in the clubs and all that kind of stuff. So, like, now you can literally go to a club, you can hear, like, 10 Cleveland records.
That's crazy, because that was, like, the era when, like, every summer you heard, like, a Cleveland anthem, like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it'll drop around mid-March, and then it'll ride to the whole summer. That's when Ray Jr. was really putting out mid-summer bangers every summer.
Every summer. He come through clutch every summer. But everybody used to literally gear their stuff up when we was dropping, we was doing the meetings. They were like, no, I got a record. And, you know, like, literally, if it was a hot record, like, there would be, like, if there was top five on a Cosign CD, it was lit.
Yeah, if I'm an artist right now and I want to get on a platform outside of course, our own, shout out. If I'm an artist and I want to get on a platform, you see how I did that?
Got a podcast.
Yeah.
The greatest
every,
in the world.
Every
oh God,
trip.
Oh God.
And, of course, outside of the Big Half Radio Show, if I'm looking to get put on as an artist, what media platform do I go to in Cleveland?
I'm from Cleveland, for sure.
I like it.
I'm from Cleveland. Then, of course, the radio, the Z107.
Are they still as connected in the culture, though? Because it seemed like they're not. It seemed like
they're very, in my opinion, I feel like they're very, a lot of programming is more syndicated now. And are not enriched in the community like it used to be when I was, like, coming up as a kid. I don't see it. Well, COVID could play a part, too.
COVID, yeah, because you can't move around. You're not seeing people in the community passing out free stuff and phones and all that good stuff. But I think they are. I mean, they definitely support a lot of our artists. And, you know, I think it, with everything now, it becomes passive because you're so used to it. But you got to realize, like, it wasn't like that before. You couldn't hear none of our music on the radio. You couldn't hear, like, the program director supporting Cleveland music because they was like, ain't no money in that.
Yeah.
You feel me? So now we got signed artists. We got opportunities. You know what I'm saying? And then with streaming and other platforms taking, emerging, is like now you got other places that people can get discovered.
Yeah, I like it. So look, before we let you get out of here, first I want to, I think, give you your flowers as one of the dot connectors that have helped us indirectly in a lot of ways get to land a lot of the places that we've been able to and bring a lot of credibility to our platform, and also give us some opportunity to create experience on
every week. Dev is like, hey, I got a podcast. I'd like to interview you.
Hey, on the reels, you gotta say like, yo, thank you.
Yo, no problem. Yo, listen, man. If they put you in the court, if they put you in the game, shoot the ball because you might not be able to shoot again.
Hey, Piggy, I'd like to interview you on my podcast.
Hey, Piggy, get with me. Hef, what things do you feel like you want to take a second to shout out or just to let people know that you have before we let you get out of here?
Go check out my documentary on YouTube, Big Hef Experience.
Y'all ain't got no docs. Come on, son. I only have got one.
Check out the book, Make It In the Midwest.
Come on,
documentary,
man.
Documentary, how-to guide to get up to the next level. The Big Hef Radio Show. It's a staple in Cleveland music right now.
That's a fact.
You ever watch that documentary on Netflix, The Black Godfather?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, for sure.
That's like
I've heard. Like I actually met with his family this week, so it's crazy.
What else?
I told you it's gonna be like some crazy.
Yo, did you
like,
sign synergy. Obama?
I met Obama once though. I met him like I was in Columbus.
Did you think I'm just shooting right now?
Let me tell you something, bro. I know this man. No, look, he's already on top. Yeah. I know this man's on a different galactic level.
Yeah.
If he has involvement in that Jake Paul and Floyd fight. You feel me?
Come on, Floyd Mayweather fight?
Yes.
My friend is throwing it. My friend.
Hey, Dev, what else?
I said, like, listen.
Like, I have one more question.
I posted a joint when I was like, yo, you got to be proud of your friends when they do amazing things. And right. Throwback story. First time that I introduced 50 to LeBron, right. we was at the Ritz-Carlton downtown, and there was two young boxers that came up. One was Ron Johnson and his brother. Wow. So they ended up getting recruited by Floyd's fight. So now, in turn, he still fights, but he's also a boxing promoter. So him and his team, another story. We was out in L.A., and I was shooting Tyrese Give Me Some Money video, and I end up meeting the people that's actually putting together that event. So, I'm proud of it because it's, at the end of the day, you got Don King, you got Floyd Sr., and you got a couple other boxing promoters that's really putting on for the culture.
Hef, what do we got to do for you to bring Tyree on this podcast?
I got to just wait till the sun. Got to wait for some new music to drop.
No, you don't.
For some new music. I got to make it make sense because I don't want to just doing like random interviews for no reason.
No, of course. Don't worry about it. She can freestyle or something. We'll do that too.
What was the question yet?
Oh, no. So we talked about, I really wanted to end on Hef. So, I like ending with this question.
Yeah.
We have guests. But give us three words that describe you not only as a man, but as an artist, someone who's clearly been uplifting black individuals in the culture, in the community. So just give us three words as we let you go here. Because as we can see, you are a busy man.
Three words, giving, passionate, and loyal. That's, you know, like for anybody that's around me. I care about what they're doing, care about how they are as a person, if they okay. If I can help them, I try to help them. Loyal, because no matter if where they are in life, I'm still going to be the same person. And then passionate, because, you know, it's like we got to get to the next level. So, like, the Cleveland music scene was really, you know, it bred some stars and it ate up some stars and got to, you know, but it's still growing. So I'm happy about that. Like, I can't wait to keep money come home. I'm happy that Cray home. And it's going to be some fun happening this year for sure.
I like it, man. Listen, yo, if y'all support us, you already know. It's only right. I guess this time, we shouldn't even tell y'all if y'all support us to make sure that y'all support Hef. But if you tie it in with Hef, support us. listen,
if
man.
You love Hef, love us.
Yo, seriously. Hef, like I said, we want to take this opportunity to give you your flowers. We appreciate you coming through today, dropping so many gems, telling some of those stories that I think the people needed to hear, so that way they can know you don't necessarily got to leave somewhere else. You just got to put the work in.
And also, too, thank you for helping us along our journey, too.
That's a
directly
fact.
Directly or indirectly.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
For real.
Hef, tell everybody where they can follow you, so that way.
Yeah, I need to get my followers up.
Yeah, man.
No, because sometimes, you know, Tyra don't show me no love. Dev don't show me no love.
I show mad love.
Y'all don't
show mad love.
You know what? You know, but it's cool. Big Hef on Twitter, BIGHEFF. And on Instagram, it's Big Hef Midwest Fresh. I really believe in the Midwest. And just keep supporting. I'm going to support y'all.
I like it, man. Hey, listen, make sure y'all listen to this episode 2 times. Don't just listen to it once. This is the Outrighteous Podcast.
Get your notebook out.
Come on, get the notebook out. Come on, man. Listen, make sure y'all like, subscribe, rate, review, all that good.
What's my alias?
Oh, again? So, let me talk to him real quick.
Yeah, talk to him. Get it off. Hold on. I'm turning the music down.
Come on. The Fendi Phantom.
Yo.
The Ferragamo Phantom.
Yo.
The Gucci Gladiator.
Yo.
Put on some Ferragamos tomorrow for sure.
The designer. Designer DJ.
Yo, hey, listen, man, it is the Outrighteous Podcast, best podcast in the Midwest, and technically this is a cosign.
Yo, I don't know. Best podcast in the world, yeah.
Best podcast in the world. Hef, is this a cosign?
It's a cosign.
Hey! Hey!